Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go! That was the greatest catch in Major League Baseball history. I will go to the wall like the Say Hey Kid almost did on that play to argue it's the greatest catch of all time. Yes, I know Jim Edmonds has made some insane catches through the years. I know there's that guy who went over the fence, and there's the Japanese guy that climbed up and stood on the top of the fence to rob a home run. And Bo Jackson once made a catch and then ran up the side of the wall in the outfield putting spike marks in the padding like boop, 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 like Roadrunner. Doesn't matter. For the moment, World Series, and the stature of Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, with the over-the-shoulder, over-the-head, blind basket catch. And then the turnaround, the spin around, and the fling back into the infield with his hat flying off. Iconic. As we say hello and happy June 20th. The solstice is upon us. That means, you know, later on in the podcast, we're going to play my favorite summer solstice related song that has been ever produced. And if you know what it is, just sit tight. Don't spoil it for everybody else. For those of you who are like, what do you mean a summer solstice song? Oh, you'll hear. Don't worry, you will hear. Okay, just you and me today, and that's fine. I got a good 30 minutes plus of excellent material, starting with Willie Mays. And look, I was 5 years old when he played his last inning as a major leaguer at the age of 43 in 1973 for the New York Mets. He had a career, though, that was massive. And he is an icon, and was an icon, on the sporting landscape. And he passes away, so sad, right as they were launching this big 3-day celebration of Willie Mays, the Negro Leagues, and his hometown of Birmingham, Alabama. I love the fact that baseball has decided they're going to play a real game that counts at a stadium by the name of Rickwood Field, which is one of the oldest still functioning baseball stadiums in the country, built in 1910, along with the likes of Fenway and Wrigley. And it was the home of many Negro League stars back in the day. And I believe there's some 180 Hall of Famers who can trace their career to having played at Rickwood Field. So it'll be the Cardinals and the Giants in this game, and Willie was going to be front and center, was not doing great health-wise, didn't want to just be out there in a very diminished state, but I guess the good Lord decided to call him up now anyway, which maybe is a good thing just to further remember the greatness of Willie Mays as both the ball player and the international sports icon that he was. Because without him passing, it'd be like, oh, yeah, they're doing that thing down there in Birmingham. Oh, yeah, Willie Mays, he's still alive. Okay, great. By the way, the new, I looked this up this morning, there is a new leader in the clubhouse, unfortunately, for the oldest living Major League Hall of Famer. Luis Aparicio, that's who it is. Luis Aparicio at 90 years old is your new current leader in the clubhouse, and let's hope he makes it to 100 and beyond. But Willie Mays, second best baseball player of all time, maybe better than Babe Ruth, even though I did look up head-to-head stats, Willie Mays versus Babe Ruth. And the stats at StatHead Baseball start with war. Babe Ruth had a career war of 182.6. Willie Mays' career war was 156.2. Games played, Willie played more, 3,000 and change to Babe's 2,500. More plate appearances, more hits. However, Babe had more home runs, 714 to 660, had more RBI, didn't steal nearly as many bases, of course, so that's a nod in Willie's favor, but a better batting average of 342 to 301. On-base percentage, slugging, OPS, OPS plus, which, of course, were stats that weren't even computed back then. Hall of Fame, yes, on both. Championship, 7 for Babe Ruth. Willie only won one World Series, did win 4 pennants, though, along the way. Couple with one with the Mets, I believe. All-star appearances, tail of the tape. Willie Mays, 24, Babe Ruth, 2. Whoa, well, the voters have it in for Babe Ruth? No, they didn't have the all-star game in most of Babe Ruth's career. MVP, 2-1 in favor of Willie Mays. I don't know what. They must not have had MVP voting back in the day with Babe Ruth because he only won it once. And they both won a batting title. And, by the way, Babe Ruth pitched. However, it needs to be noted that Babe Ruth played in a very antique era of baseball. And a segregated era of baseball as well. From 1914 for the Bambino to 1935. Willie Mays played from 48 to 73, as really the game transformed in that period into the modern game in the early 70s. Willie Mays could hit for power. He could hit for average. He played in ballparks that were not suited for home runs, and yet he still hit a shit ton of them. Had speed, defense, as you heard from that highlight, and I'm sure you know the clip of that making that catch. There's many other catches he made that are lost to the fact that he played in an era in which he didn't have very good television footage or any footage whatsoever. That's what's great about the over-the-head catch in the World Series. Because it was the World Series, we had our best cameras and best assets, analog assets, devoted to capturing that moment. And so we have it in pretty clean form from a high behind home plate, long shot in the outfield. So he also, Willie Mays, embraced his role as a baseball ambassador and did that so well for so many decades after he was done playing, and was liked not only by fans coast to coast, but respected and liked by his fellow players. I saw a clip of him talking to Vin Scully, the longtime Dodgers announcer. And it was so fascinating to listen to the two. They had never met until well after Willie Mays had retired, which is kind of odd to think about. And basically, Vin Scully was saying, look, you were my favorite player, and you were the best player I ever called a game involving, even though you wore the wrong uniform. That being, of course, the San Francisco Giants. He, of course, made that catch as a New York Giant before they moved to California, but still. Willie Mays, second best ball player, maybe the best when you consider he's playing in the modern era far more than Babe Ruth. But either way, they're both on the Mount Rushmore of baseball players. And I know I'm stealing a bit from, pardon my take, on Barstool Sports. And that is Mount Rushmore season, where they just do various Mount Rushmores. To me, the Mount Rushmore of baseball is, in no particular order, Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and Jackie Robinson. And that's the big four right there. There are strong cases to be made for the likes of Lou Gehrig and Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio, Yankee players getting a bit overrepresented because of how iconic and powerful the Yankees were and playing in New York and everything else. Maybe you could argue Ernie Banks of the Cubs, let's play too. Modern players that would have an argument to be on the Mount Rushmore, it's tough because of all the things that happened to the game and advances as well as, hello, steroids along the way. But Willie Mays will be remembered as one of the all-time greats, an icon who walked the earth and sadly has now been called up to his final call-up. May he rest in peace. He had the nickname, the Say Hey Kid, because he would often greet people with a high-pitched, hey! And so the Baseball Writers of America said, let's call him the Say Hey Kid, and they did. He had the nickname, he had the flair, he could play for speed and power, and was a great ambassador afterwards, and won a championship, and has the highlight of the over-the-head catch. You can't beat it. Was there anything he was lacking? Yeah, but did he have a song, Zabe? Well, of course he had a song.
Go get it, Willie.
Say hey, Willie, go get it.
What do you mean, go get it? Man, that ball's way in left field.
I don't care what field it's in. Willie plays all field.
Every time we come to the game, you're talking about Willie plays all the field.
That's right. He plays.
Let's call Willie and ask him. Call him.
Okay, hey, Willie.
Yes.
Are you Willie Mays?
Yes.
Whose ball was that?
Why was it?
In left field.
Well, that's Irvin's ball.
I told you that. Every time we come to the game, we got to talk about it. The next time, I'm going to sit in the grandstand.
Say, hey, fellas, what's your name?
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. This is the Traineers who recorded this song in 1955.
When he hits the ball, it's long gone, man. Hits it farther than camp began. Swings the bat like a little lead pipe. When they reach the ball, it's overripe. Say hey,
say who?
Say Willie. Say hey,
say who?
Swing it at
good stuff there. Now to the modern sports world. The Pistons have fired head coach Monty Williams. Wait, you fired him? Why? You just signed him to this massive new contract. The firing after just 1 year in which the Pistons purposely tanked so they can get back-to-back very high draft picks via the lottery, and then gladly scooped up and paid a lot of money to Monty Williams when he was let go by the Suns, have suddenly changed their mind. Have suddenly said, yeah, nah. It's one of the largest piles of guaranteed dead money to a coach, I think, in sports history. I'd have to check Spot Rack on that. They had some note regarding that. But it's just, it's bonkers. It makes no sense. And this is why people wonder, what is the NBA really all about? It's one thing if you got to fire your coach like Ime Udoka because he's sleeping with office workers and then committing sexual harassment and there's lawsuits and messiness and you're like, what are you doing, man? You need to go talk to HR and we probably got to fire you. But Monty, what did he do? Well, they expect him to win a championship in his first year with a team that was built to tank and pick up draft picks? I know what you're saying. I can hear it. Are you going to play the bite, Zabe? You going to play it? Yeah, I'm going to play it.
Well, because I fired him. That's why.
You fired him? You fired him? Why you fired a black man?
I fired the black man because he's the guy who set up the whole system here and it doesn't work. And he's here like every week. I'm
honestly
giving him checks.
Wanda,
we've got five
true
remotes. I can't
we've
turn
had
it on.
So many problems.
But I know, you know, black men, it can never do anything wrong.
Really,
I need to
Wanda,
get fired from a job.
Problems.
Black people always do everything right.
You got to turn the damn satellite on for the TV to work. See the little green light?
You want to be on?
Just got to turn it on. Or you can fire the black man, whatever works for you.
Now, I think he's going to end up coaching somewhere else, and that's what he wants to do. Many people say, man, if I got $15 million a year for 5 years just to sit on the beach, oh, you wouldn't see me. Or I'd be playing golf every day, or I'd be doing this, or I'd be doing that. Monty Williams wants to coach. He's a good coach. He's going to keep doing what he wants to do. And that's going to probably save the Pistons some money, depending on the so-called offset language in these contracts. But fuck the Pistons. They should have to pay the whole thing. I said that basically Monty Williams should start a YouTube channel of building model ships inside glass bottles. He could maybe call it Boats in a Bottle with Monty Williams. Hey, everybody, welcome to my channel. Got another edition today. You're going to like this one. I've got a mid-century spinnaker that I've built inside this wine bottle here. And I got some tips for you on how to work on the mainsail, getting it in there. It's one of the trickier parts of building a model ship inside a bottle. And then every day at the end, sign off of his YouTube video of, okay, and don't forget, I'm still getting paid $15 million a year from the Pistons, who are idiots. So go ahead and laugh at them. If you can, hit like and subscribe, and we'll see you tomorrow for another tip on how to build a boat in a bottle. That's all he does. Spends hours and hours and hours. I've never seen, actually, a video on people building model boats inside of bottles. I'm sure there is quite a lot of high-level techniques involved, of long grapplers and pinchers and hooks and things. You got to negotiate every piece in there through the tiny little opening of the bottle and somehow glue them into place just right. And I'm sure it's tedious and difficult and time-consuming, and maybe that's why people like it. Maybe that's a good distraction. It's a good release for people. Now I need to do a deep dive on that. Who invented building ships in a bottle? Is there a way to cheat? Does a company that wants to sell pre-built ships in a bottle as a display piece for someone on their mantle, do they have a way to build the model ship and then somehow form a seamless bottle around it so it doesn't look like there's any seal? Doesn't look like somebody just glued two halves of a bottle together. Don't know. To the NFL, Roger Goodell had to take the stand the other day. About damn time they got this weasel in front of a jury, in front of a judge, to testify under oath. He was defending the league's Sunday ticket package in their antitrust case going on out in Los Angeles. Goodell was called as a witness by the NFL, and they questioned him about, so why did you only sell Sunday Ticket via one distribution channel, that would be DirecTV, and why did you make people buy the whole league for $350 on up instead of buying just their preferred team in a much smaller package on an individual basis and maybe distributable via the internet? Goodell said basically it's because they considered it a premium product. Quote, not just on pricing, but quality, he says. Fans make that choice whether they wanted to or not. I'm sure there were fans who said it was too costly. The class action suit, which covers 2.4 million residential subscribers and 48,000 businesses who paid for the package from 2011 through 2022, that would include me, claims the league broke antitrust laws by selling its package to out-of-market Sunday games at an inflated price. The subscribers also say the league restricted competition by only offering it on satellite. The NFL, though, maintains it has the right to sell Sunday Ticket in whatever form it wants under its antitrust exemption for broadcasting. However, the plaintiffs in the case say that only covers over-the-air broadcasts and not pay TV. If the NFL is found liable, a jury could award $7 billion in damages. That number could balloon to $21 billion because of antitrust, triple damages laws. But do we really think, A, they're going to lose, and B, you and I are going to see a damn dime of that money after all the lawyers and everyone else cuts up what is left? I'm not expecting much. My personal feeling, again, I'm not a lawyer, didn't stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. I don't know how you can legally tell the NFL you have to sell this product in individually wrapped things. You know, a business should be able to sell whatever product they want to sell as a 32-pack, in this case for the NFL, and not have to, by law, offer it individually. There is also testimony from CBS Sports chairman, former CBS chairman, Sean McManus, in a memo, or a memo that was produced, that said the concept of individual out-of-market teams and games being deliverable is one that basically threatened their existing television contracts, and the teams were not wild about it. So there you go on that. We'll keep an eye on it as it progresses. Dateline dating. The general rule is half your age plus 7. That still seems a bit aggressive as you get older in life. But that's the general rule, according to the internet and pop culture, as to what is a acceptable age difference for wealthy older men and much more vibrant younger women. So you can figure out the math. Obviously, as you get younger, while you're younger, it's a tighter distribution there. So a 35-year-old can date half his age. Well, let me pick a number that's easy. A 40-year-old can date a 20-year-old plus 7. 40 and 27 is not terrible, right? But if you're 72 like Belichick, 72 divided by 2 is 36 last time I checked. I did Google that. Plus 7 is 39. No, wait. 36, 7 is 43. 43. 43. Not 23. Or, in his case, close, 26. Jordan Hudson is her name. And now there's photos in public of the two lovebirds together on an airplane. I'm sure he was thrilled to have someone say, hey, can we take your picture? By the way, she's 24. Did I say 26? 24. So yeah, he's in total utter violation of this. The ex-Patriots head coach, who recently broke up with his also younger girlfriend, Linda Holiday, who at least was age appropriate. I think she was in her 50s, late 50s. He's even going younger now. Belichick was taken with Hudson's philosophy project at the time of their first exchange, according to TMZ. And the coach even autographed a copy of her textbook, which was called Deductive Logic. Well, let me use some deductive logic here. Bill Belichick is a creepy old man who happens to be a 6-time Super Bowl winning coach. Good for him. He is out of shape, if not on the borderline of being morbidly obese, but he's got money. And now he's got free time because he's not coaching. I guess if the two are truly in, quote, love, fine. But come on, dude. That's creepy. That's disgusting. And for Ms. Hudson, you may say, I'm really in love. You may think we have so much in common. I just connect with his brain so well. They say the brain is the number one sex organ anyway. Okay, whatever. Is there another non-famous, non-rich, 72-year-old man, morbidly obese, that you would like to get naked and bump uglies with? I'm waiting. I don't think there is. I don't think there would be. So as much as I would crush Belichick for being a creepy old man who's leveraging his fame and money for extremely young girlfriends, shame on her, Ms. Hudson, for saying, I'll take that money. I will put up with it. And this has been the case for time immemorial. Somebody sent me a great meme. It was of another really rich guy, even fatter and uglier than Belichick. Not famous, I don't think. Some, I don't know, Italian, who knows, business titan, billionaire. And he was photographed in the ocean cavorting with his 20-something girlfriend in a bikini. She looked great. He looked like a fat pig. The meme was, every time my son asks, or every time my daughter asks, why do I have to study in school, show her this picture. And then when your son asks you the same question, Dad, why do I have to study so hard in school, show him the same picture. Your daughter will look at it and be disgusted, hopefully, and go, yeah, gross. I don't want to be that person. I want to make my own money, have my own career, and not have to resort to, well, I'd like to be rich. How do I do it in the easiest way possible? Get naked with this fat, ugly old man? Or actually work hard? Well, let me work hard. And then for the son, you could say, well, you may not be endowed with a lot of things in life, but if you have money, the world seems to fall in your favor. Quick break here. As always, if you want to go commercial-free, subscribe, premium. It's easy. Go to zabe.com/premium, and you can get this podcast for just $5 a month. You can get it for even less than that when you buy a year at a time. You get 12 months for the price of 11. You can cancel any time if you go month to month. I'm not going to keep your money. I just want you happy, and that way you skip over the ads, and you're good to go. Plus, you get 5 days a week, including Fridays, where we will have church tomorrow. Scott and Solly have the week off because of schedules. But yeah, it's a pretty, pretty good deal, and I appreciate everybody who does so. We're back with more right after this. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you're putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, we're back. More money stories in sports. And, gee, it's like it's a theme or something, right? Or maybe that's how big-time sports operates in the world. The PGA Tour has created a new special sponsors exemption for one Tiger Woods based on his exceptional lifetime achievement. The Tour told this to its members in a memo distributed Tuesday night. The sponsors exemption would be available for Woods to compete in the 8 signature events, which feature limited fields, no cut, and increased prize money and FedEx Cup points. Why does the tour want this? Because they're trying to negotiate a new TV deal, and they're trying to get corporate sponsors to stay on board for these elevated events. So if they can convince Tiger to limp around on that bad leg 6 or 7 times a year in the signature events, they might be able to keep a Wells Fargo, an RBC, or someone like that on board. And that's very important to them. Does Tiger have a chance of winning? No. In fact, it'd be shocking if he could play more than 1 or 2 of the regular tour elevated events. It's taken everything in him just to play the majors, and he's missed the cut in almost all the majors except for the Masters that he has attempted to play. It is pretty darn shameless. Yeah, we're going to create a special exemption. Now, some would say, well, Tiger of all people deserves it. And you would be partially right there in theory, but that's only if you believe that the PGA Tour and golf as a sport should stop pretending to be a true meritocracy, a eat only what you kill type of sport, in which you're only as good as your last tournament, you're only as good as your last year, and good luck staying exempt. If you give Tiger Woods an exemption for these elevated events that have no cut because you just want better TV ratings and or sponsorship money, then why not give him a cart as well? And if you give a mouse a cookie, then you're going to have to give him a dot, dot, dot. If we're already at the point of giving Tiger an exemption, a cart will be next. And who knows what comes after that? Maybe we'll give him every 3-footer. Ah, pick it up, Tiger, you're good. And we can pretend that Tiger Woods is still the player he once was. It's disappointing to me because Tiger Woods is at the tail end of his useful PGA Tour career at only 48 years old. It could have and should have gone on for a lot longer, except for that car crash that nearly took his life. But guess what? It's over. Deal with the reality and move on and stop trying to cling to your old meal ticket. Matthew Tkachuk had almost one of the greatest highlights ever. Still may be a great highlight, even though it didn't matter in the end. Diving to try to save an open net goal in game number 5 of the Stanley Cup Final in Florida, Tkachuk for the Panthers, who were down a goal at the time, skates back furiously toward his own goal with no goalie in it, sees the puck that was trickling towards the goal line, dives head first, swipes his stick in a windshield wiper-like fashion, covering at least 10 feet or more of ice. And as the puck is just about to cross fully the goal line, he's able to swipe it away from peril and keep it out of the net. Amazing, right? Except for one detail. The great Connor McDavid was waiting nearby, picked up the puck on the near boards, and then shot it right into the net, and that was that. Great highlight! Amazing! Oh, okay, all right, never mind. Reminded me of like when you see an animal video where there's an animal struggling to get out of some predicament, and you're rooting for the animal. You're like, come on, buddy. You got it, buddy. And then finally the animal gets out of the predicament, and it's about to go on its way, and then another animal comes and eats it. Bonk. Oh, okay, great. Nice save, and now it's over. Game 6 in Edmonton now, and this series could be interesting as the Oilers are not dead yet. And Kate, our girl Kate, come on now, Oiler girl. You got a chance. You're starting to lean into your new fame. I know that there's probably arena security saying, look, you cannot come to the game and flash him again. You will be charged with public indecency. There's ways to get around it. If your team needs you, let's be there for them, okay?
We'll call it. But I just wanted to say, you could be the most perfect godly fucking person in the world.
Godly.
You could save kittens from a river if they were drowning. Yeah. Someone's still going to hate you. So you know what? At the end of the day, I got drunk and whipped my tits out at an Oilers game and they went viral. Fuck you if you don't like it.
Boom.
Woo.
Woo. J-Lo has a love addiction, quote unquote, that is apparently been the breaking point for her marriage to Ben Affleck, as they are reportedly on their way, sadly, to another divorce. Love addiction, quote unquote, interesting. Lopez shared a Father's Day post in honor of Ben Affleck. However, it didn't match the intensity of the one that she wrote to him the previous year. People track this kind of stuff. They've been rumored to be headed towards divorce in recent months. Speculations have risen about what could be causing it. And according to TMZ's new documentary on Hulu, J-Lo and Ben missed warning sign. It shed some light on another possible reason. According to sources, Lopez is a love addict with a need to have a man in her life constantly. They believe the actress never took enough alone time between relationships, and without taking time to reflect, it's unlikely she ever figured out what went wrong in her past relationships, making it seemingly impossible for her next one to work and to endure. Well, maybe that's just who she is. I'm still a fan of Jenny from the Block, but let's not couch it with, I have a love addiction. When Tiger Woods went off the rails, they called it a sex addiction. He had to go to some rehab center for that. Doesn't work that way for women? Come on now. Let's be fair. Couple emails and a correction. First of all, I am an idiot. I stupidly and mistakenly said that Jason Tatum was Canadian. That couldn't be further from the truth. He's from St. Louis. I don't know why I said that so casually. I guess I kind of thought. The Canadian team does have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Andrew Wiggins. But then the rest of the guys in the Canadian Olympic team, which is the second best favorite to win it all, which is still a far gap from Team USA, they got a bunch of other guys I really haven't heard of. That said, Tatum not from Canada, he's from St. Louis. Maybe it was because he grew up buddies with Tkachuk that made me think that they were Canadian, but whatever. Tkachuk's from St. Louis as well. So, and if the two of them end up winning, if Florida gets their shit together and wins the Stanley Cup, then I think it's the first time ever that two guys who went to the same high school in two different sports will have won a championship in the very same year as pros. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Meanwhile, by the way, they went to Chaminade. Same class at Chaminade. Drafted in the first round of their respective sport. So they will have won their championships days apart. That one from Michael Durwatcher via email. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Then there's this one from Dan Butarazzi. Zabe, longtime fan, keep up the great work. I follow you on X, and one of the main reasons I do is that you do like some great, interesting content that I appreciate seeing. This new feature on X, hiding a person's likes, is pure garbage. I would love to hear what you think about it. Thank you, Dan. I talked about it the other day on the podcast. I said it was probably good for me just because some people don't understand that my likes are basically bookmarks. If I was a civilian and I was on social media, I'm not sure I'd ever like anything other than just to kind of boost it in the algorithm. You're not going to change anyone's minds per se, but if you just want people to see it, like, hey, look at this, not a bad thing. But people draw too, you know, people, shallow-minded people are too quick to go, oh, you like him, I can't believe him. And then they start going to pick apart what that person that you might have liked something from has ever said or done or stands for or believes in or anything else. And it's just a bit too much. But I understand that you do sometimes want to kind of crib off my notes and go, let me see the stuff that you're liking. Retweeting seems like too much of an endorsement. I know I'm not going to change anyone's minds. I have this platform here, which is truly my own platform, the Zabecast, to sell, to put forth content that I think is worthy and interesting. So I just don't know whether I should make my likes public again, because there is a setting to do that. We'll see. I know this. There's some amazing stuff out there that makes you shake your head. And one of the toughest things for me has been understanding why so many liberals, Democrat voters, have no problem with widely open borders and letting in millions of not just undocumented illegal immigrants, but also some very bad criminals and entities from all over the globe, including terrorist nations from the Middle East and parts of Europe and everything else. I've always said, why do people approve? Why would anyone approve of that? It's a basic thing. Like, I want my country, here's my politics in a nutshell. I want my country to pay its bills and have a balanced budget. I know that's laughable, right? I want the government to not spend any more than they take in a given year. Balance the budget. I want to lock the doors of the house so we can more tightly control who comes in, because that's kind of important. And then the third thing is to leave us the fuck alone as best you can. Not saying strip away every social safety net program that's been enacted. Just in general, when possible, get the fuck out of the way. That's all. Three simple things. So why then would... why is it that open borders either is, whatever, to many Democrats, but why do some of them support it? Well, now, here's a great look in on the liberal mindset. Louis C.K., comedian, who kind of got canceled himself for a while because the tides of what was acceptable, even for raunchy comedians, shifted underneath his feet. Wait, do tides shift under your feet? The ground shifted under his feet. The tides came in and came out against him. Because he used to, and I'm just reporting the news, I'm not making it up. He used to masturbate in front of other female comedians with their, if not approval, they didn't really mind, or they didn't report him to any authority. It was like, well, that's Louis C.K. And then when that got out, they're like, oh, gross, what is wrong with you? And that was at the peak of the Me Too movement, so he kind of got canceled. But Louis C.K. explained why he thinks and other Democrats and liberals think it's okay to have this immigration, because America's too nice. It's not fair. So therefore, one way to make America not so nice is to let in a lot of people from other countries, other cultures, not maybe as well educated, some of them extremely violent. Let them in, because it's not fair.
But my feeling is they should open it, the border, and just let them pour in, let everybody pour in. And then the answer, which is, well, then there'll be all these problems. Yes, there should be. It shouldn't be so great here, is what I'm saying, in America. It shouldn't be. It's a weird thing to sequester a certain group of people and try to keep upping their lifespan and their lifestyle. And just keep trying to increase that for this group of people. And then everyone's, and then this pressure of people trying to come in so they can enjoy it. And then it gets worse and worse down here. I mean, I'm not Canada. It's really just from down here. There's something wrong with that. That's not a system that's working. And it forces people to do cruel things to other people. There's a lot of people that die so Americans can be safe. They're just dying. You know, weddings that are drone bombed in Yemen because a guy said something that might have resulted in American insecurity. Not even like definite American deaths, but like just so we can breathe a little easier. Folks die and folks do labor in unsafe places so that we can keep the prices where we like them. There's so much about American life that other people pay for. That's part of it. But also, it's not good for us either. It's not a good way to live in a gated community, you know? If you let folks pour in, like any other wave, it'll kind of slosh. And then you'll just, things will be different. I don't know, like, what'll really happen? A bunch of people, like, will they just come with knives and start killing everybody? I don't think so.
Yeah, they will. And they are. Maybe not en masse. But there's been enough examples, like the woman in Maryland who was raped and brutally murdered with her head bashed in with a rock. Mother of five. Yeah, it will keep happening. He, of course, conflates a lot of sort of talking points in a very disorganized argument. One being a war on terror, which doesn't really have to do with immigration per se. But what he doesn't get, or maybe he does and just doesn't want to acknowledge it, is that we have a nice country because it was built on Judeo-Christian values and by men and women who took measure of the country and said, this is how we want to do things. These are the ideals we want to uphold. And has it been perfect along the way? No, of course. See slavery. But there's been constant improvements along the way. And when he says, well, I'm not talking about, you know, the influx from Canada. And then he just dismisses that, not even realizing, well, wait a minute. If we have it so nice and no one else has it nice and they want to come in here, why aren't they coming in from the north? Because they have it nice too, and they're their own country, their own laws, and their own people, and their own culture. What could it be? The liberal mind doesn't want to admit that some cultures are just better at this civilization than others in certain ways. If you can't admit that, if you can't see that, you're going to have a very curious view of the world. Which will end on the dumbest thing of the week. Protesters that are worried about oil consumption have decided the next thing they want to deface or have tried to deface is the 5,000-year-old Stonehenge monument in Wales. That's right. Somehow they got through some outer perimeter and got right up to the giant monoliths, and they had what looked like cans of smoke that had some sort of paint or dye in them, and they were trying to paint the stones. Who knows how permanent it would be. I don't know if you took spray paint to Stonehenge and tagged it like you were some kind of New York City subway tagger, how hard it would be to get off. It's just dumb, though. You're not going to get anything done doing that. But look, stupid is as stupid does. Those stones have been there standing up, stacked on top of each other for 5,000 years. How was it done? They got theories. They don't really know. There's multiple theories. They've tried to do the engineering and the science on it. Where do the rocks come from? Where is the nearest place they could have gotten them? If it's this many miles away and this is the topography of the land, and here's how each much of them weigh. Here's how each of those stones weighs. Here's how much they each weigh. Thank you, I can speak. They've done all those sort of analysis, and holy shit, it's a wonder. It's one of the wonders of the world. And they believe that it has something to do with the summer solstice, which is why there's a big summer solstice celebration in Wales at Stonehenge, that the arrangement of the stones had to do with, of course, the tides and the moons and the sun and everything else, which to me makes perfect sense because that was what ruled the world before we came to know and learn more about our solar system. And it, of course, produced my greatest summer solstice-related song on this, the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. It is the great satirist musician known as Y. Elvis. And of course his hit is Stonehenge, in which he asks the question, very simply, who the fuck builds a Stonehenge?
My life is so successful. I got everything a man could ever need. I got $1,000 haircut, and I even have a talk show on TV. And I know I should be happier, but instead, there's a question can't get out of my head. What's the meaning of Stonehenge? It's killing me that no one knows why it was built 5,000 years ago. Why did they build the Stonehenge? How could they raise the stone so high, completely without the technology? We have to die. When I make my jalapenos, calamari and prosciutto, I'm the king. My wife applauds me in the kitchen
when I tell her all I bought is from the local store. And when the kids have gone to bed, we're all alone. She gives me a smile, then she plays with my balls. But all I think of is Stonehenge. I think about it when I dream, the biggest heads that I have ever seen. What's the purpose of Stonehenge?
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.